Here we go. Remember your genuine faith, for you shared the faith that first your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into the flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prisons for him. With the strength of God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made us all of this pain, plain to us by appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death, illuminated the way of life and mortality through the good news. And God chose me to be preacher, an apostle, teacher of this good news. What I want to talk about, it's easier to quote this. It tells Timothy, do not walk in fear. Be careful of the spirit of fear, but stir up the gifts. We all have gifts, right? Did you know Paul mentions gifts 4 different times? They're mentioned in Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 1 Peter. He mentions the gifts there. There's some spiritual gifts. Then there are also some natural gifts that God's given you. And so with those gifts, once he gives these gifts to you, he'll never take them away from you. So if you prophesied in the past, you still have that gift today. If you have the gift of teaching, you can still teach today. It never goes away. You might be rusty because you haven't stirred up that gift. We will buy some natural peanut butter. And if you know anything about peanut butter in the natural state, the oil and the cream separates. And guess what you have to do? Stir it up, right? That's the same thing with our gift that God's given us. It doesn't matter what the gift is. Some of you will say, well, I'm not as gifted in that area as others. It says God gave the gifts as he chose, as he desired. And these gifts will come out at different times. And so here, if we take a look in Romans real quick, it talks about, here it goes, if prophecy, this is Romans chapter 12, if you want to write it down. If prophecy, let him prophesy in proportion to our faith. If the gift of serving, serve well. If the teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging, be encouraging. If the gift is giving, give generously. If God's giving you the gift of leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have the gift to show kindness, do it gladly. And so in other words, not everybody's as kind as other people. Some are more gracious to other people. And then we all know about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 with the spiritual gift, about the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the works of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Those are the spiritual gifts. Well, there's nothing spiritual about teaching. There's nothing spiritual about giving. There's nothing spiritual about being kind to somebody. Those should be natural things, especially as believers. We should be the first people in line to help our fellow believers. We should be the first one. Even James talks about it. If you know somebody's in need, but you don't help them out, what type of walk is that? If you have the means. And so there's nothing spiritual about, prophecy there is, but there's nothing spiritual about serving people. There's nothing spiritual about that. I can go to the school and serve people, but I do it until what? The Lord. All these things, all these gifts, you don't do it to other people, you do it unto the Lord. Your first ministry is not to your spouse or your kids or to the church or to the world. Your first ministry is unto God. That's who you minister to unto first. When you minister unto God, sit at his feet and minister unto God. Well, he's God. He doesn't need me to minister. What do you think what the angels in heaven are doing? When they're throwing their crowns down, when they're saying, holy, 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 they're serving God. And then he talks about these other gifts. In 1 Peter 4, some of these are rehashed. I guess Peter's writing this one. They're rehashed. It goes, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Can you imagine we all get the same gift?
Boring. Yeah.
Correct. How boring would life be if we all have this same outfits? I'm not going to put down the homage, but their outfits are all the same. There's no individuality. No one here is dressed the same. How awesome is that? Because not everyone has the same outfit on. How cool. We might have the same style, but we don't have the same clothes. Variety. Can you imagine all the greens were the same color green? How boring that would be. Are we all look good as Gary does?
Yeah.
Good luck.
But it goes on, and it goes in Ephesians. He goes, some are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some are pastors, and some are teachers. Well, isn't there more? Those are different offices that Jesus appointed to help oversee and run the church. And we need all five to make the church healthy. If there's just two or three, it's not as healthy. But we have all five operating in the church. Teachers rising up to teach. Prophets rising up to prophesy. Apostles going out with apostling. The evangelists going out evangelizing. Pastors doing pastoral care. And the thing about it is that the church would be healthy. And there's a difference between an office, that's where God's appointed them to oversee, and a gift that God allows you to use. And so how do you do it? You stir it up. You stir up your gift. How do you stir up a gift? You use it. What if I mess up? You use it. Have you ever baked and it didn't come out the way you thought it would? And it tastes as nummy as you were both hoping? But yet you...
Your muffins.
I still have one left and they're still good, Jerry.
Sugar-free.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Almond flour, they were tasty. I made a homemade salad out of my greens out of my garden the other day.
Yeah, that was good.
That was beet leaves, parsley. Was it parsley? No.
No, onions.
Onions, garlic, carrot tops.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Dill.
Dill.
Oh, okay, sounds good.
See? It's not all bad. But it says stir up the gifts. And guess what? Fear will come in and say you don't do as good as they do. Mm. Fear will come in and say, you don't play the piano like they do. Fear will come in and say, you don't draw like they do. Fear will come in and say, you don't prophesy like they do. Fear will come in and say, you don't give like they do. Fear will come in and say, you don't do it like whatever. Fear will rob you from using the gifts God's given you. And we all have gifts. And the thing about it, if you don't use your gifts, you don't lose them, but they come dormant, and apathy will start setting in.
You lose it.
But you still have muscles, they're just not as strong. Then you have to rebuild it. And that's why it's important for, they say, those who sit a lot, they need to get up and move around so they can continue being strong with muscles. That's why it's important to use weights to work out, to keep from apathy hitting the arms or apathy hitting the legs. And so, because we're not just a family, we're a body. And if when the knee hurts, your rest of your body actually suffers. But yeah, if the knee doesn't hurt and it's used wisely, you can go a lot farther. You have more energy, more strength. And so when we're not using our gifts, we're not just hurting ourselves, we're hurting the church. And not just the local body, but the whole church. The large church. And so the thing about it is that we have to stir it up. Because fear will come in and try to rob us from doing that. But it says, walk out in love. You would do it because you love somebody. Because you love God. And then guess what? When you do it, give God all the glory. Say, it's all you, Lord. It's all you. Because I couldn't do it on my own. There's no way I could do the things I do on my own. It's all yours, Lord. And then it says, love, power. Walk in power. Power. Walk in the authority that God's given you to use that gift. Love, power, and use that mind up here. When you walk in those gifts, let God guide that mind how to use it. So how do we tap it in? Our responsibility to flow with God, these are our responsibility, is to pray, or actually seek Him, to worship Him, read His Word, continue to fast, continue to give, and the greatest thing is to obey. As you seek Him, obey. And guess whose results are? God's. And as you worship God, it doesn't matter what the results are. Because you'll start stirring up, you gave me this gift. And he goes, okay, use it. Okay, I'm going to use it today. Well, if I mess up, don't worry about messing up. You cannot mess up God's plans. Impossible. Impossible to mess up God's plan. What if I mess up royally? Nope, God already counted that in creating you. Here, someone said this to me. They go, you can't mess up God's plan because he already knew the stupid mistakes you'd make. So you already counted for those mistakes. He already knows. How cool is this? As an office, there's things that are held up, but for a gift, they're freely given to you, no matter how bad things might seem. What I'm saying is that kind of like God's giving you a gift and then you go rob a bank. He's not going to take that gift away. Actually, he can still use you even though you rob a bank. Look at David. He murdered somebody and God still used him. Look at the people in the Bible. Not one of them was perfect besides Jesus. Look at Peter. He mouthed off to Jesus. You think about it. I'm not going to betray you, Jesus. Who did Jesus tell him to get behind? Peter. Jesus, you're not going to go there. I mean, you think about it. Could you imagine smelling off to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and yet he chose you to build his church upon? What grace and mercy! Because he's given them that gift. How cool is that? I'm not saying go out and do something stupid on purpose to test God. But when you choose to do something wrong, come back to him humbly, ask forgiveness, and walk in that, and you'll see great things take place. So that's a little nutshell. But who taught me was the Holy Spirit. And then I also read books. I listened to podcasts.